so. I'm calling the meeting of the Cambria Community Healthcare District, October 26, 2021, board meeting to order at 9:04 a.m. Diane, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Please stand, face the flag.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The only board member that's missing right now is Bill Rice. We expect he's on his way. All other board members are present. In addition, we have Simone Rathbun, Jeff Minery, Tim Bennis, and Mike McDonough with us. We have no members of the public, and so we'll move immediately to the consent agenda, and I'll consider a motion to approve the minutes from the September 20th and September 28th board meetings.
So moved.
Okay, Cecilia moves.
Second.
Lori seconds. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Moving on to the reports. Operations report, Tim Bennis. Anything you want to highlight for us?
No, I pulled the statistics for this morning.
You probably want to take your mask off so that, well, actually, what we can do is move the recording device down closer. Okay, you're going to come over here.
Yeah.
Great.
So I pulled the stats for this morning. So far, year-to-date for the month of October, we're actually at 123 incidences with a total of 35 transports so far year-to-date. We've had two runs in Monterey County. Both are billed, and we've had multiple drug runs. We survived the storm with no major incidences. All of our vehicles are in service. Does anybody have any questions?
No, good job.
Any questions? Okay, moving on then to the administrator's report and financial review. Mike.
Yeah.
Do you want to come over here too, or I can bring the recording device over to you?
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
See, in your packet you have my report, a couple of quick highlights. Keep my glasses from fogging up here so I could see.
Let me just ask, because I heard a chime. Cecilia, are you still with us?
I am indeed.
Okay, great.
We have the third bullet point down on the COVID-19 briefing. I've received just this morning some progress on that public assistance grants. The Cal OES hold has been removed, as I state here, but they've also they sent me an email this morning that they are processing the warrant today. So finally we're seeing it go to the California financial office, and they will process the payment. They say it can take up to 10 to 14 days for that payment to go through. It's a direct deposit, though. It'll go straight into our account. So that was exceptionally good news after months of delays. You see the updated statistics on the COVID-19, and then there was Dr. Bornstein had recently, a few days ago, released a criteria for removing the indoor masking mandate. We're at the current orange tier, and we need to move to the yellow tier for that to occur for 10 days. So, and we're heading in that direction. So should happen fairly soon, we hope. The numbers are of concern, but improving. Let's put it that way. Other than that, the other deal that was of concern was under the financial reports was our tax revenue. There was a significant delay in getting our anticipated tax revenue from the county this year, or this month, this time of this year. Last year, October 8th, we had received about approximately a little over $120,000 in tax revenue. this October 8th, we'd received a little over $600. So I met with them on phone several times, and through our combined efforts, we were able to get some of that to flow. It has a lot to do with this year. People are not paying their taxes as quickly as they were last year, and the county cannot forward us the funds until they receive the funds. This county is set up that way. Other counties, there's a few that do it differently, but that's the system that's here. The good news is that as of yesterday, we'd received a little over $98,852 this month. So even though I'm reporting for last month, I just wanted to kind of update you that we've started to see a flow of funds finally. We're still behind of our budgeted amount, but we're catching up, and that relieved a lot of stress on me. I was very concerned when I saw that we were that far under the radar. There is the other thing I wanted to note was in your packet, you'll notice in the check, what we call check register or the transaction detail, we caught an error last week it's a QuickBooks error, where it appears, if you look at the transaction record, that multiple employees got double paid for the $100 Band-Aid or the vaccination incentive program, and that's not true. It's an accounting issue. We've contacted Charrington, and they're working on rectifying that. So that's we caught that, and it's being taken care of. But it is not. If you look in there and say, "Well, why did some people get paid twice?" They did not. That did not actually happen. It was just a QuickBooks thing. Other than that, excuse me. Are there any questions based on my report?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Then we're going to move on to the committee reports. Can I get the...
Oh, sir.
...device back?
Move our little...
I can project, but maybe it'd be better not to. I just have a couple of things that I want to mention. First, that I did submit, I believe it was on October 20th, the grant request to the Cambria Community Council. And the original request that... Excuse me, can I help you?
I'm sorry, we're just testing your speaker. We'll be just inside.
Oh, okay. So our original grant proposal that I brought to the board at the last meeting was for a total of 8 replacement tough pads for a total of $34,319, rough number. And in the meantime, Project Heartbeat agreed to fund 2 of them. And so I revised the request downward. We got a different proposal, and the new grant proposal is for $23,396. In the meantime, I've been checking with Tim to see whether or not Project Heartbeat has provided funding, and he learned recently that he had been provided some misinformation in terms of how much funding Project Heartbeat had to spend on this request. And they're about, rough numbers, $2,500 shy. What happened was an expense that one of the Project Heartbeat board members thought was charged against last year was in fact charged against this year's interest or earnings, shall we say. So what I, as trustee of the Cambria Community Healthcare District Trust, told Tim is that whatever shortfall occurs with the Project Heartbeat coverage of 2 of these onboard tough pads, that the Cambria Community Healthcare District Trust could pick up the difference. We have about $6,500 or $6,800 in the trust account, and shouldn't be any problem for us to cover that. Then I understand, well, Lori will cover it in her trust report, in her grants report. In the event that the council does not approve our proposal, which now totals, rough numbers, $23,400, then there's a backup grant request that can be put in. So we just have to wait until the end of November to learn whether or not they'll approve that. And then it was nice that the Cookie Crock finally presented the district with 34 $100 gift certificates, and we are very appreciative to the Crock for that. That's all I have to report. Anybody have any questions of me? Okay, property and facilities, and facilities project ad hoc, Lori.
Okay. I'm just going to pull this in because I don't speak very loudly. So we had an ad hoc committee meeting last Thursday with Banner Construction Management, and we are proceeding with the pre-design work with them. We will be meeting every 2 weeks with the intention that they are planning on presenting the final design to the board at the January 25th board meeting. They will be giving the ad hoc committee a preview of that 2 weeks before, so we'll actually see what they've come up with as far as design and projected cost. And so that will be available in your board packet before the meeting, and then they will do a formal presentation. They will be meeting with, as needed, with Tim and Mike, but specifically looking at what we have come up with as far as facility needs. And I think the project is moving forward as expected, and everything's doing well with that.
Okay. Any questions for Lori? Cecilia, healthcare advocacy and outreach. Or is that actually, no, that's Diane's.
No.
Is that Diane's?
Okay. Well, I'm here, but I was.
Diane is on the committee. I think I'm here.
Okay. All right, then, Cecilia, go ahead.
Okay,
I'll move the recording device closer to where your voice is coming from.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
The committee did not meet this month. I think the item of note that you are all aware of is the announcement that Dr. Bung has made to retire from practice on December 31. And you and Davis probably also saw Kathy Tanner's article about that in the paper, which I thought was accurate, reflecting just how difficult it is to recruit young doctors. The article also noted Dr. Griffith's effort to address this, and I think in good time he'll talk more about that, but my understanding is that is, there's a decent likelihood that he will be successful in that. So I'm keeping a watchful eye. I'm very, very hopeful that what he's doing will work out.
Okay. Well, Bill Rice is not present, so.
And the Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee is then represented by Diane Kubat. Did you guys meet?
No, we did not.
Okay. Finance Committee did not meet.
That was an easy report.
Then grants. Lori.
So we did meet, the Grants Committee met yesterday and had a fairly good discussion of where we are with our grant situation. The Assistance to Firefighters Grant Program will be issuing its Notice of Funding Opportunity for fiscal year 21. It's scheduled for November 8th. I don't know if that'll get pushed back or not. We had, Mike and I both attended a workshop for agencies that had received grant fundings to go over the requirements for fulfilling reports and those types of things, and when the money can be requested for the grant award, we did receive. And then we did also have, Mike, Tim, and I, a second or an additional meeting with our regional representative about our turndown notice for the application that we submitted for the ambulance funding. And we will be resubmitting. We didn't even make it past the computer algorithm to see the score to sign need. We're hoping that that will be improved this year. We're going to continue to apply and see what happens. We were also encouraged to consider submitting microgrants, which you can request funding for up to $25,000. Those grants are reviewed more quickly than the larger grants, and so they're right now we'll again be waiting to see whether or not the tough pads will be what we'll be going for. We also discussed looking at community automated. Okay. Come on, Tim. I get stuck on the E.
Oh, automated external defibrillators.
Yes, external defibrillators. For the community and whether or not we want to pursue that with this microgrant. We were also told we did not need to wait between asking for operations and equipment grants, so we've talked about whether or not we would be trying to replace our stair chairs with that. So we've got kind of a few things in the air at the moment, and the community council will help us make that decision. And then as far as any other grants that are in the works, Mike is working on a mechanics bank request, and he's already talked about successfully getting the FEMA's money related to COVID finally approved. So I think that's where we're standing right now.
Also, just to add to that, Lori, this just came up this morning, two emails from...
you might speak up.
On the FEMA, the AFG turndown, there's a series of webinars for turndown people.
I
forward that to you this
morning. Yeah, I get those alerts as well. Thanks.
excuse me. There's a grant that comes out of the state Department of Finance that was hers, but specifically for special districts for $100 million total. And initially, we were told we did not qualify. I got an email this morning, we do, and they've given me until Friday of this week to turn in the online grant application. So if it's okay with you, I will push to get that into them.
Absolutely.
And it's basically financial data, and then they decide, they have an algorithm, if you say for loss of revenue. You know, so we're not asking for a dollar amount, we just push all the data, and then they figure out how much, if anything, we get. But just half hour before I left for the meeting, I got the email saying, because we'd appealed it. They had said we didn't qualify. CSDA encouraged me to appeal that. I did, and this morning they said that we do qualify. So, moving forward quickly.
So, my understanding is that you've already, in your appeal, pulled together that information.
I did, but it was approximate. Now I have to get specific. I have to get specific financial data. Because when I did the previous appealed application, I had like 2 hours to get it in, and so I did a quickie, you know, of approximate data, and I told them that in my appeal email, and they said, that's fine, now send us the accurate data, the specific data, and I have till Friday to close the business. So I will jump on that, if you're okay with that, and
sure.
See if we can recover some funds.
Okay, any questions? Moving on to strategic planning, Cecilia?
As you know, we met as a board, and I believe at the last board meeting that we approved some updates to the plan, and I don't think there's any other updates other than that.
Okay. And trust fund marketing ad hoc?
We didn't meet, but we're... by the end, you know, within the next couple of weeks, I will prepare a draft letter to go to the community for your review.
Okay.
And
All right, thank you. Any questions for Cecilia? All right, then moving on to regular business, the key performance indicators quarterly report. Mike?
Yes, in your packet you have the first quarterly report. I call this my cornerstone report because it's the first one. And so it does not have any comparative data because we're just starting this this new program, this new process. And as we move forward, say next quarter, for example, we'll be able to show trending upward, downward, whatever. And also the other thing is I had originally intended to include comparative data analysis with local, this county, state, and national benchmarks. As we are discovering as we moved into this project that data was not readily available. In fact, we've been in discussions with the county. They're struggling, well, I shouldn't say struggling, they are working on getting that data themselves for this county, and we're actually helping them in that process just in the last week or so. So as we move forward, I will be able to eventually obtain that comparative data, and Jeremy's working with me on that data mining. So,
can I interrupt you a moment?
Sure, go ahead.
That's confusing to me because I know that the one time that whoever that guy was came and presented quality data once to us, and there were throughout his report there were benchmarks to all of those metrics. Additionally, when I was looking at what the metrics were from national sources, the benchmarks were readily available. So I'm confused.
Well, I could, if you...
Maybe not for every single metric on your report, but many of those quality metrics, I'm fairly sure there are some benchmarks for.
Right. It's just... I'm sorry.
Tim has
a comment.
So, Cecilia, Jeremy and I actually worked on this over the weekend. The biggest problem that we're running into right now is the benchmarks, because they pull so much information. If you were to look at the numbers that we pulled on just the initial run of this, it looks like we're one of the worst departments in the state of California. When you compare our, 1,500 calls to the 15,000 or more, like LA County, LA City, and all of that. So, not to interrupt Mike or anything like that, but Jeremy and I are working on fine-tuning this so that you get the information that you need and want that makes sense.
I appreciate that explanation, Tim, because it sounds like an accurate one. I don't think it's appropriate to come to the board and say that the data is not available when, in fact, it sounds like there is data there, but that we are concerned about the statistical accuracy given our low numbers. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and to rephrase, it's not readily available in a format that makes sense to us, I guess is what I should have said. We're working on it, and in the future reports, I believe it will make sense and be more accurate to something that the board would appreciate.
And I want to be clear. If there are areas where really, and I'm sure you share this view, I think that's the very purpose of understanding quality data, is, you don't shy away from areas where you think there's a lot of improvement needed, because that's the very reason you do this, is it shows us where our training needs are, et cetera. So once you feel comfortable that it's not, there's this law of low numbers, that if you're only doing one of some kind of procedure, yeah, I get it. It may be that in order to get statistically accurate data, we'll need to pull more than, take whatever period you need to take so that your numbers can be statistically reliable. Go back 2 years if you have the data. And that's the kind of thing you're going to have to do when we have such low numbers.
That's correct. One of the things that, just as an example of several key elements, is San Luis Ambulance has data, but it's in a different, they use a different EPCR format, and they are switching to the same one we have. Once that switch is completed, that will make the data flow much easier to the county and then to us.
Okay. Any other questions? So there's no board action required here. We want to see more data and benchmark data, which was not provided.
Correct. And another thing that we can provide downstream is not only that information, but components of improvement related to that data. If we identify that we're below a benchmark, what are we going to do about it?
Exactly. Good. Cecilia?
Yeah. Are you sure this is all the quality metrics we agreed to? I seem to remember receiving a draft of your metrics that was much more comprehensive.
This is the metrics that were identified in the quarterly report in the previous board meeting.
Yeah. I seem to recall that there were about a dozen, and so we have 14 of them here.
Yeah, there is an
answer. Well, these aren't called, I mean, total patients transported or that those aren't metrics. That's just a denominator. I mean, the only ones of these that I would say are quality metrics, well, actually, none of these are quality metrics. Am I looking at the right thing?
They're key performance indicators. So, like patients transported over time, we can show trending, seasonal trending, et cetera. So it's related to QI and QA, but it's key performance. It's based on the performance of the system.
Yeah. If these are not consistent with the quality metrics we've looked at, these are volume trends.
These are outcome trends.
Tim, do you know what we have quality metrics, but these are not them.
Okay. Well, we'll have to go back and dig out what it is the board approved. And Mike, if you would take an action item to reference the board meeting where the metrics were approved and see how this, what you furnished in attachment A, compares to that. And as necessary, present the correction to the board at our next meeting.
Will do.
Anything else on that subject? Okay, the next item on the agenda is Mike's report on mandatory vaccination policy compliance.
Yes, and it's fairly brief because as of the deadline date, September 30th, we have reached 100% compliance with all of our existing employees with the vaccinations.
And how many were terminated?
There were two.
Due to non-compliance.
Two were non-compliant, yes, and chose to move on elsewhere.
And then one retired.
And one person retired.
Okay.
And two more that were on the fence got vaccinated.
One that was on the fence got vaccinated. Or two that were on the fence got vaccinated.
Yeah.
And we have one that has received one vaccination, and she's working with her, she or he, working with their doctor to avoid the allergies, a significant allergic reaction that they experienced with the first vaccine.
Correct.
Okay. Good job. Any questions? Okay, now the next item is the employee dental life. I think ADD stands for accidental death and dismemberment insurance benefit.
Yes.
Proposal. So go ahead, Mike.
When I attended the conference in Monterey, I spoke with a vendor, a broker, insurance broker, and continued that conversation. When I got home, he presented me with some competitive quotes for these employee insurance programs that we have, and as they're attached to in the packet, you can see those. They provide the same or better level of insurance without the employees having to change dentists, for example. It's the same PPO coverage that they have now. So it saves the district about 25% per year annually for the premiums, and provides the employees with a slightly improved plan. I presented it to the union representative and our labor representative. We met and went over it, and everything looks good. Just kind of letting the board know what's going on, and we're improving our benefits and saving money at the same time.
So you're not looking to the board for any action?
Not really.
It's just informational?
Just informational. It's within my purview of authority, I believe, to switch. We're just switching brokers, basically, to a different broker who went and got us a better deal out of cost savings.
Good.
And I even got a reference from another entity in the county that has used this. It's called Keenan. Keenan is the brokerage, and highly recommend them. They said that they've dealt with them for a number of years and have been very, very happy with their services. So I think it's a good thing. In a nutshell.
Any questions for Mike? Okay, moving on to our last agenda item, which is updated staffing proposal. And originally, there was a bunch of information included in the draft board packet that I thought was inappropriate, sort of raw data, if you will. And I thought it would be more appropriate, or actually Jeff, after consultation with Jeff, he thought it would be more appropriate to have an ad hoc committee meet and look at the specifics and then bring a recommendation to the board. I would recommend, even though he's not here to defend himself, I would recommend that the ad hoc committee consist of Bill Rice and Laurie Miller. Does anybody have any discussion about that? Of course, Bill's not here, as I say, to defend himself, but I think it's absolutely necessary that we have the chair of the finance committee.
And he's been with Tim in the conversations in the past. So.
Okay. Does anybody have any objection? Lori, do you have any objection to being on?
No, I've been involved in some of this conversation in the past as well, so it's fine.
Okay.
Unless Tim has an objection.
Okay. Any discussion about that? Any further discussion? Okay, then we'll say that the board approves of an ad hoc committee being set up to discuss the staffing situation that we currently are experiencing, and how soon could we get this percolated up? So would we be prepared to address it at our next board meeting, at our November board meeting?
Depending on how the committee members feel, I feel like yes, we could, because I have a lot of data and information to share with them that I think we can move forward pretty quickly with this.
Okay.
I don't want to speak for Bill. I would like to see the information first and then decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
And so then we have a couple of weeks to decide on that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can. It's available electronically. So right after this board meeting is over, send it to Lori and to Bill.
Okay.
What was included in the draft board packet. And then you can go from there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right. So, future agenda items. At this point, I think we need to have an update on the KPI. We'll create a staffing proposal. This is for November. Anything in addition to staffing proposal and KPI? Oh, what about, no, we're not going to do the conflict of interest until next spring?
Until the spring, right. The county's asked us to wait till then.
Okay.
Can I maybe ask for advice about how to do this, but in
Lori, I'm particularly interested in your point of view here. So there will be a request coming to us from Dr. Griffith around our willingness to potentially do a survey just to provide him and the community some information about people's true interest and demand for local primary care. A little bit of an we talked about this, Lori, in doing a follow-up with some more specific questions. And I could work with Lori offline about how much that might cost or whatever, but would that be appropriate to go straight to the board, or what would be the process then?
I think what you do is you work it at the committee level with Diane and yourself.
I just think this is her surveying expertise, although Diane may have that too, I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm happy to, we'll see. Can I attend your committee as an invited guest and without any vote?
You can only listen.
So out in public, the last survey was put together rather rapidly. I think the cost was under $2,500, but that included all of the printing and the mailing, the postage for the mailing, and so if that's ballpark, if that falls. It's rather easy to put the survey together. It's just getting it in the queue for the service that does the mailing, getting the mailing out.
Okay, so I don't think you would be ready to make a proposal in November, do you, Cecilia?
Yes, I do. He's actually trying to get, he has at least a possibility of having it docked in town by January, and so the time's actually quite critical.
All right, so how do you want to title this?
Community survey regarding primary care.
Okay. All right, so that's on the November agenda. So I have three items. Update on the key performance indicators, a recommendation on staffing, and community survey regarding primary care. Anything else? If not, then we're going to adjourn at the remarkable time of 9:42 a.m.
Good job.
Hey, you know what? Bill Rice wasn't present. It's all his all he's doing.
Anyway, that was a record.
Thank you.
Thank you.